Up next, it's hour number one of KSCO Presents the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO Presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Why do we never get an answer?
Welcome to Future Tuesday here on the Dr. Future Show. But boy, I'm telling you, that Sunday was something else with that eclipse, eh?
That was pretty darn nice.
Super moon eclipse.
The super moon, right. Of course, here in Santa Cruz, it was a little cloudy. And at the beach, it was a little hard to see between the trees.
That's
but
true.
It looks really good online.
Well, it did show up every so often, you know? As they say in the biz, you had to wait for it.
Wait for it. Yeah, well, I did see about the last quarter, maybe the last half of the actual eclipse, but I didn't see the full red.
Well, we couldn't. On the West Coast, we could only see the last half anyway.
That's right. That's right.
So just to be out there, though, was a thrill.
It was great. It was really fun. It was gorgeous weather. The sky was mixed clouds, so it was in and out. There was a few bright moments.
And I love the way you would bring me food out to the beach.
Yeah, well, when you're going to have an eclipse party on the beach, you want people to eat outside.
Right. And it was relatively warm compared to how it could be this time of year.
Right.
So it was an adventure. The best about it was that you had the direct view and you had, you know, whatever your device could pull in, which was a live signal.
Yeah, we've really gotten in the habit, I'd say, for about the last 5 years. We always make sure that we have a live streaming channel for the eclipse so that whatever's going on with the clouds, we can still see the precious moments of the moon going into
it. Definitely enhances it to have both.
Yeah, definitely. Nothing like seeing it up in the sky, though.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. It looks like it's about a third of the size of the moon that you usually see. It's tiny.
Well, it's also the closest to the Earth at that point in the sky. That's why it's a supermoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's in an elliptical orbit around us, and it's the closest part of the ellipse. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so large.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the end of the fourth blood moon. I think we won't see another series until 2033.
That's right.
That's a little bit far in the future for what we like to talk about. We're a little more like what's next kind of future. And in that point,
but we do like to know what's next in the sky. So even
that's
though
true.
That's a long attention span theater.
You want to talk about long attention span theater? There's one article we have this week about a massive clash of black holes that raises astronomers' hopes of witnessing gravity waves.
Oh,
in
that
action.
Is breaking news.
Isn't it, though?
Boy, that's sort of like...
Water on Mars. No, gravity waves, man.
Gravity waves.
But it's going to take 10,000 years for this thing to happen.
Minimum. It's somewhere between 10,000 and 2 million years before these two black holes collide.
But we'll learn so much.
Astronomers are guessing.
We'll learn so much when these two black holes collide. Well, more close to home, Snowden did his first tweet this week.
Really? Oh, that's amazing.
Did you hear about that?
I just now. Tell me about it.
Ed Snowden has joined the Twittersphere. The former NSA contractor was officially on Twitter, and he was quickly greeted by saying, "Thanks for the welcome. And now we've got water on Mars. Do you think that they'll check passports at the border? Ask a friend, please."
That's what he said.
Yeah, to Neil deGrasse Tyson is his first tweet.
Are they going to check passports at the border to Mars? Where is the border?
Well,
I wonder.
He wouldn't have any trouble getting to Mars. There wouldn't be any passport control issues.
Yet.
For someone of his ilk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I don't even know. They probably want to ship him off to Mars, you know?
That was his response to Tyson. The very, very first thing he did was tweet, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?"
Nice. And do we know his tweet? Is it like the real Snowden or something? What's his handle?
Well, let's see. Ed at Snowden.
Okay.
So.
Ed at Snowden. Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you want to follow Ed, there's your chance, folks.
Okay.
Also, Elon's back in the news this week. A couple things. One, I just heard on the news myself, the new X car has been released, the SUV. We'll find out more about that and get back to you on that.
Let's go for a test drive.
Yeah, you want a test drive.
I want an X
drive. We just bought a car Friday.
Hey, you can still test drive a Tesla.
Yeah. True enough. Well, there's some news about the Tesla.
I'm all ears.
He was interviewed in Finland this last week, and they asked him, how far will the range of the Tesla be in, say, by 2017? And he said about 745 miles.
Oh, really? Do you have to... That's kind of amazing. That's quite a leap from the range anxiety.
What's 250 or so
250,
now? 250,
yeah.
To 745. That's not bad, right?
That's quite something. That could be a real game changer.
Yeah, that is at the rate of change that currently happens with battery improvements. Not necessarily a brand new technology, but utilizing the technology that's already in place.
Well, I hope he's right. We are supposed to have our battery wall already. The beginning of the summer, they said battery walls, Tesla battery walls, would be out by mid-September. Well, that date has come and gone, and we haven't even gotten a return email yet from Tesla about when those things are
coming. Our zip code is not an area they're servicing yet.
That's right. And it literally affected our car buying decision because we knew that we were going to be buying a car at the end of the summer, and we said, well, maybe we can get a Tesla, right? Maybe we can get an electric car. But in order for that to happen, we needed to get a Tesla battery wall because, of course, living off the grid,
yeah,
if you're
going to
charge your electric
ecosystem.
Car,
absolutely.
You have to have an electrical system that will charge it. So we've got lots of solar panels, but we don't have enough batteries for a car. And the Tesla battery wall is not out yet. So instead, we got a Volvo. Okay, time to go to our first break. Hang tight.
Oh, not just any Volvo.
Yeah?
Well, we'll continue after the break.
Oh. Leave them in suspense. All right, folks, this is Dr. Future Show, KSCO. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Actually, we got a Volvo S80. It's really executorial type of thing. It's really good for going on trips. And I think we're going to love it.
Yeah.
But hey, we were ready to jump to the hybrid electric scene. It just wasn't.
We were planning it for years. I mean, 3 years ago, we were just leasing a car with the intention, our next car being an electric car.
Yeah.
And we turned in the lease. We're kind of waiting and waiting and waiting all summer, saving up our money, and no Tesla battery wall. So we couldn't really wait any longer. So we got a cool car that we like instead.
Oh, it's great to drive. I think of it as the last of the great gas guzzling machines I'll probably ever own.
This is it, the last gas guzzler.
It is. It's a V6, you know, it doesn't exactly sip the fuel. But then again, neither do these SUVs. But I feel like this is probably the last of this type of vehicle. We are actually probably going to go to electric because it's just way more eco. And it works. It's got great acceleration and all that good stuff. And it'll probably all be autonomous before. Oh, that's the other announcement. 2020 is the year in which the Elon Musk's cars will go fully autonomous.
Right.
Maybe 3 years max
So maybe that'll be our next car. It'll be a new autonomous auto from Tesla.
Yeah, for the judicial system to catch up with the technology.
Right.
But there's a lag time there, but probably not too long.
No, within the lifetime of our current car. I think we'll be going
2023.
Autonomous.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty big time then.
Yeah, right. All right, well, moving forward in the world of autonomous autos.
Okay, we do have a call in from Richard and Gregory on the VR conference, but I just wanted to mention, of course, you've all heard about the Water on Mars project, right? And how we actually
discovered the big announcement.
Yeah, from NASA on yesterday.
Space news is so funny. Big announcements, you know. It's like, we've been studying really hard for 4 years, and we finally figured out that. Take it away, Dr. Future.
Whoa, you know that Data's head?
That's the announcement?
No, that was Hoagland.
Yeah,
late night coast to coast radio. They talk about evidence of ancient civilizations on Mars and the moon and things like that. Mm-hmm. One of them looks like Data's head. And somebody claims they saw Data's head on Mars as well.
You are being so confusing.
But no,
now.
That
Come
is
on.
Not the news from NASA. That's
Yeah, I know NASA did not go there.
They would not go
Richard
there.
Hoagland's head on Mars. No, didn't happen. No.
We're talking more liquid water.
That's what I thought.
Well, which
breaking
is, you know,
news.
Basic. You know,
salty water on another planet.
The scientists have to provide us with a good infrastructure. Hey,
on that note, let's say hi to Greg. Huh?
Yeah, Greg, what do you think of water on Mars?
Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Welcome from Los Angeles.
Yeah. All right, Greg Panos, our favorite VR expert.
Are you as excited as I am about water on Mars? Does that mean anything in your life? The water on Mars? No. I guess not. Okay. Well, let's go on to VR then.
I would rather it be organic orange juice.
Yes, exactly what I thought.
Yeah. Instead of salty calcium water. Eh. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about where you're at, Greg. What's happening?
Yeah, I went on a whirlwind trip back east. My nephew got married and went to 10 days in New York and a week in Raleigh and 10 days in Miami area. Got a chance to see relatives and cool out and spend some time doing research.
Nice. And you
and
go
research on your book?
No, just, you know, research into what's cool and what's new and what's tech related wherever we were.
Anything grab your attention in the VR world, like any new headsets that
You know, I had just finished putting together a panel and being a moderator on a big VR panel at SIGGRAPH Computer Graphics Convention in LA just the week before I left.
Panel of the old timers. You were actually a lot of the original pioneers of VR. You brought them together and spoke at SIGGRAPH on the panel.
Yeah, we had Vincent John Vincent and Linda Jacobson, and we had Brett Leonard, Looming Large, and Jackie Mori, and Noni De La Pena. So it was a great panel, and it was a very, very busy week at SIGGRAPH in Los Angeles this year with lots and lots of VR.
Oh, yeah, that's probably where you saw most of the new stuff this year so far, right?
Yeah, we really had a real treat there, and then we were gone for 3 weeks, and then we got back, and we had just a couple of days before the Oculus Connect 2 conference, which is the Oculus VR company, which was acquired by Facebook through its second annual conference.
Yeah, how was that? Was that exciting? Did Zuckerberg himself show up?
Zuckerberg himself showed up. That's right. He was there. Everyone was really on point. It was a really well-organized conference, lots of good food, carefully curated attendance, many, 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 many demos to take in, and some really, really good talks. So got a chance to try on the latest and greatest Oculus headset configuration. They have released hand-based tracking controllers that are called the Touch system. Most of the demos that we got a chance to try utilize the hand tracking. So you can see your hands in virtual reality. They're very, very accurate. They didn't jitter or jump around at all. You could pick up things and throw them, shoot slingshots.
So you're wearing goggles and wearing gloves?
And you're seeing your hands in front of you. They feel like real hands almost, right?
Well, they look more like game controllers, and they've got buttons, and you control the buttons, and they make your fingers move and do different things. And after a while, you get the hang of it. The tracking was very accurate, and all of the visor-based head-mounted demos worked with them and were very high resolution using gaming engines and gaming platforms all running in real time. We got a chance to try the Bullet Train demo, which is the hottest demo they had there, which is really quite amazing. I'm not much for shooting games, but with the hand controllers, you really can't help yourself but be grabbing and shooting and pulling and pushing things. And the games and various demos that they had made great use of that technology.
Any compelling content that really got your attention?
Well, they had a little like a cinematic demo that they produced called Henry. It was about a 5-minute Pixar quality animation of a little hedgehog inside of his little house celebrating his birthday by himself. And it was supposed to be an emotional, you know, you're supposed to have an emotional connection with the character. And it was really cute and it was very well done. And it was very interesting to sort of be sitting on the floor in this VR space in this little character's home, which if you stood up, you'd be up against the ceiling. So you really felt like you were a giant kind of like curled up on the floor watching everything. And, you know, they had probably about 15 other demos, of which I picked a couple of them to try out. One of them was a gunslinger game in an old mine. Another one, I was running around on basically ice-top of mountains and falling in between crevasses and jumping and running around a little like a little Disneyland type area with another character. So what was amazing is that VR has come a long way, and the technology really is working very, very well now.
So do you think it's ready for prime time?
Well, what's thrilling about it is it wasn't expensive for them to build, and it won't be expensive for them to sell, which means that we'll all have access to it.
Vizio headsets.
Yeah, apparently they've been very generous about the authoring environment and putting out the SDKs and the other programming interfaces to allow people to develop applications for the platform. There's a lot of activity going on in the development space for this platform, although it'll be 6 months or 9 months before people have their hands on hardware or their access to it in the public
sector. So not this Christmas, but maybe next Christmas. We'll see. Hey, son has a question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if the stuff that you're seeing is making much use of like the 360 VR video type stuff. Are you seeing anything like that?
Yeah, well, a lot of the 360 video where you can look around from a point of view was being shown on the Gear VR platform. It's a Samsung visor that your Galaxy 6 plugs into and becomes the engine that drives the visor. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the developers working on that aspect of the VR, and Oculus supports all of this and makes all this possible with their relationship with Samsung. A lot of those demos use a 360 VR, like rafting rides and hang gliding and things like that.
All right, so we got about a minute, Greg. You want to just give us the wrap-up? What is really exciting? What can people do now? What's next?
It's about a year and a half before the consumer gear will be ready, though, for...
Yeah, well, until the products start shipping, you can take your regular smartphone and get a simple little Google Cardboard box with some lenses.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The Cardboard, the Google Cardboard is probably the easiest way to get into it. Yeah,
and a lot of developers are developing for the higher-end VR that'll be coming in 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Already have versions of their demos running on Cardboard, so you can really get a feeling for it and try it out right now with current technology.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Greg, for being on the show. We'll look Alrighty. Forward to future reports.
Yeah.
Okay.
And back to our world. Yes. Okay, who do we have in the studio now, Mrs. Future?
This is our Apple obsessive enthusiast and expert, a.k.a. Taylor Barcroft.
Taylor himself.
Hi, everybody.
Future Media.
There he is. Taylor.
Welcome, Taylor.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, we had Taylor on a couple of weeks ago. We're going through some of the new Apple announcements, of the cool new stuff that's coming in from Apple that we could play with. And who better than Taylor, probably the biggest fanboy I've known of Apple, who actually uses the gear, has to say about this. He's here now to give us the second half of that particular report. Taylor, what's the first thing you want to cover tonight?
Well, the first thing is that Apple sold 13 million iPhone 6S and 6S Pluses over the weekend.
13 million?
Versus 10 million. This is launch weekend just happened.
Wow, that's the biggest.
But remember, this launch included China, which it did not last year.
So that could be 3 million right there.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
That's a big news. And then the other news is that the OS X El Capitan launches tomorrow, Wednesday, September 30th, which is the next version.
It's an operating system?
Next operating system for the Macs.
The Macs. El Capitan.
The reviews say that it's really solid. Yeah. It's all about making it more reliable than ever before.
Free upgrade?
Free upgrade, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And then the watches, watchOS 2 is
Well, OS
out.
2, I had a little trouble with the upload, watchOS 2.
The install was very difficult.
Yeah, both devices had to be plugged into the wall.
Yeah, but it was more than that. You had to restart the watch and...
Right, reboot.
And go back out of the installer and into the installer. It was crazy. I waited 6 hours before I started fooling around.
I didn't have that much trouble. It took me maybe an hour.
Finally got it done.
Yeah, me too.
It's still a little rough around the edges. The Runtastic Pro that worked just great now doesn't work at all.
Right. That's the typical thing of upgrades is that you go to a new upgrade and the last generation apps that ran on the old iOS just don't do it.
Yeah. And the built-in, even Apple's built-in exercise app doesn't work properly now.
Really? Even Apple's own apps?
Yeah. The built-in exercise app,
yeah.
When you pause it, instead of pausing, it quits.
Every time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Delivers a final report instead of just pausing for resume. And it worked just great before.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. But anyway.
There'll be a patch soon.
Progress.
It's Apple. There'll be a patch soon.
Yeah, patch coming, whatever.
Yeah.
I love the new colors, the gold and the midnight blue band and the rose gold and the stone. You want to get a rose gold watch, right, son?
That's a good
present. She's off mic right now. There's a technical.
That's a nice present for the feminine persuasion. It's funny. I admit, I almost ordered a rose gold for my iPhone, but I end up just getting the gold.
Oh, you got a gold?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got the space gray because I like the black face.
Yeah, and I realized I could have gotten it. It's a little more femme, that's true. But then I usually give my old phone to my Mrs. Future so she would have it, you know, after that. And when I think of it that way, it's perfect. However, I ordered the gold, so I hope you're satisfied with that, Mrs. Future.
And I lucked out. I got mine. I completed my AT&T order 20 minutes after midnight.
That's true.
Got it on Friday.
Right away. He has his already.
He's an hour behind me, so he's still waiting.
Yeah. Okay, so the colors are great.
Colors are great. The 3D touch is interesting. If you have a 6 or a 6 Plus, I wouldn't say it's going to change your life.
You're accessing menus by pushing.
I would say keep the 6 and the 6 Plus,
right.
Wait another year. But if you don't have one yet.
Well, that's a compelling new dimension.
Unless you're crazy like me and I buy every year.
Well, it's a compelling new dimension of control.
It is. Know? It's interesting. You can check your mail without opening it.
You push and you push harder, you get another effect.
Right.
Push to open, you can preview an email. Push harder and it opens.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's as compelling as Apple would like us to think, though. That's
barely been developed, but I can see why they're excited.
Yeah.
That's a dimension of touch control.
Yeah, and it's faster. Overall, the processor's faster. Apple Pay is including Discover Card now and store credit cards. That's interesting. You get that on the watch, too.
So you can pay just with your watch. The watch has more autonomy now than before.
True.
Too, right? So that gives it...
Yeah, you can use Apple Pay on the watch without the phone being nearby. The Apple Pay information is in a corner of the watch, so it works right there.
It's funny, I would expect it to have more autonomy and to have better communications with the watch. So as it has more autonomy, it also is more connected.
Yeah, the watch can connect to the internet through known Wi-Fi networks without the phone also.
Right.
So that's a really good thing with the watchOS 2.
Yeah, and Bluetooth between the two still, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking that everybody that buys an Apple Watch until the next model is an early adopter. Even if they don't get it till next year, they're still early adopters. I think the whole first annual of this model, you almost have to be an early adopter rather than a follower.
How has the watch changed you guys' lives?
It makes me exercise more and it keeps track of my exercise.
It makes them stand up once an hour.
Yeah, you have the standing order.
It vibrates your wrist.
And I can keep track of my progress right there on the face of the watch.
It's gentle, though.
There's a complication that shows the calories and the minutes of exercise and the number of times you stood up. And I use the timer and the alarm an awful lot because I have a kind of a lifestyle that requires the alarm to go off every hour or two because I'm a Viggle addict.
I don't know what Viggle is.
It's a game. It requires me to record the beginning of television shows and earn points. That's how I got my... phone for free.
Wow. A professional Viggle player.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Right. This is how
it's a 12,000 point daily limit.
You make a living on this, right?
Well, I got a couple of iPad Air 2s that I'm selling. I've still got one for sale if anybody wants, futuremedia@me.com. Moving on, we got Apple TV. That's TV 4, they call it. 32 gig for $149, 64 gig for $199. Now, why do you need the storage? Because there's an SDK for third-party apps.
Okay, we're looking at a different product from Apple called the Apple TV.
Right.
And the Apple TV, until this point in Apple's history, television has been a hobby for them. And hobby, I mean only 25 million subscribers.
I mean, you mean owners?
Owners, excuse me. Not even subscribe. Owners. Well, you're a subscriber.
And
to,
some of those owners probably own iTunes. Two of them, so it's probably not that many individual people.
Yeah, it could be. Uh-huh. So this new product from Apple is supposed to launch Apple into the revolution that Steve Jobs promised on his deathbed, that he had finally cracked television.
Okay, so Apple.
And so everyone has been wondering, what's this new thing that Apple's releasing then that's supposed to deal with television? And here it is.
Well, third parties get to make apps for it. And the gamers are really crazy.
Yeah,
they're going to be amazing games.
First of all, it's an all-new design.
New remote with a Siri Aware. You can just tell it what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then there's a touch pad on the remote.
Right.
to swipe around and
stuff. Right, so the touchpad, like on your laptop.
Right, the and they're still keeping the old original, the third generation
Apple TV
also for $69.
Right, yeah, they're very different products. It's like they share the name, but according to our programmer, they function really differently. And the developers who produced apps for the old Apple TV, those apps will not necessarily be working on the new Apple TV. It's a whole new programming paradigm.
Well, it also opens it up to games. You see, the Apple TV has games on it, which is kind of Apple's entree into the virtual reality space, if you stop and think about it.
Really? That's interesting. How so?
It's a controller for game space.
Yeah, they're making the games work with the remote, and then there's also the option to offer additional hardware game controllers for the Apple TV 4.
Nice.
The original Apple TV is still pretty good, though. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there. You can play, just stream. I stream comedians getting coffee, comedians in cars getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld and really famous comedians, and the quality of the picture is just through the roof. The streaming looks better than anything off the satellite or off the cable.
Right.
That's
still
true.
I
can see that. And I've
HBO.
Seen that in the existing version. Looks great. But
yeah, Netflix just co-opted to offer their subscription through the iTunes music store now.
It's optimized for 1080p, right? So it's not doing 4K yet.
No, there's no 4K, but how many people really are using 4K? It's just a couple of nuts.
You like it? Do you have a 4K monitor?
No way.
No,
I don't need it. I got a 10-year-old XBR 46 from Sony that's still
just
cranking
fine,
along. Yeah,
okay.
Chug.
So 4K hasn't arrived.
I don't see the 4K happening really quickly because it takes a lot more bandwidth to get through the pipes, and the pipes are still constrained. And
so the pipes is a limiting factor.
Yeah, I
think. But the sets are looking good, though. Don't you think?
I guess. I've never really even seen one. I don't care.
Wrong person to ask.
Well, you've got one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're all whoop-de-doo about it. Tell us all about it.
Well, that's another show.
Okay, another show.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Apple TV is going to be available in late October.
Yeah.
All right, so look out. There's this 32-gig storage for $149 and 64-gig storage for $199 if you're going to load it up with apps. And remember, there's apps for each television show as well as each channel. You can get a lot of apps going in there pretty fast. There's already, even on the regular old Apple TV, there are show-specific
apps in there, as well as
channel-specific.
As an app developer, it gives us a chance to see what's possible with television.
So on to the iPads?
Yeah. Well,
how about on to the break, and then we'll do the eyebrows when we get back.
I'm really curious about
the
Pro.
Looks like we have a caller as well, so hang tight, and Dr. Future Show will be back after a few words from the sponsors.
Hey, you're back to the Dr. Future Show. We have Billy on the line.
That is a fact.
All right.
Welcome to the show, Billy Sunshine.
I didn't know you were an Apple geek.
Yes, yes. Thanks, kids. The first question is how do I watch TV and get free stuff?
Ooh, you asked the right person here. Come on, Taylor.
Well, you can get free stuff by just playing Perk. Like, I collect my iOS devices, so Perk TV allows you to log into all your iOS devices. You're not limited to one device. And so the more devices you have, the more Perk movies you can play, the more money you can make each month with it.
Ooh.
I run them 24/7 like that. Every hour or two, you have to say you're still watching to keep it going. But I've got over almost $1,000 in points waiting to spend on my iPad Pro.
So you let your devices watch TV
No, no, this is Perk TV. It just plays movie trailers.
Wow.
Then the Viggle, you can only log into one device, and you play games at night, and during the day you get multiple points per minute of certain shows that they tell you to record the beginning of, and you play those.
Taking notes.
It's a long story. I've been doing it for quite a while. I accumulated over 4 million points this last year and got two.
There's a whole world out there, isn't there, that we're all unaware of.
It was a 12,000-point limit per day.
Who says that being a couch potato doesn't pay?
Yeah.
Well, you don't really have to watch television. You just have to
learn how to work the system.
No, you have to learn how to work the system to get the Viggle points. It's more complicated than just watching television.
Darn. Some people play the stock market. Some people play the Viggle.
I'm able to make the 12,000-point limit every day.
Yeah, there you go.
So I have a question, though, about the water on Mars real quick.
Yeah.
Every report I've heard about it is about whether there was life on Mars, which I don't care about. The fact is that if there's water on Mars, doesn't it mean that we can go there and both drink stuff and create oxygen? Because if you break water down, you get oxygen, which is fuel and all sorts of other things. Isn't that what big deal about water on Mars?
Well, my understanding is that for biological life, the big deal is we need to have the right kind of water that can foster some form of biological life.
Anyway, just watch the Martian movie.
No, but what the article says, Bill, what the article says is that for 4 years, they've been watching Mars looking for seasons. And what they've discovered is that there are like these black vertical lines on the mountains that seem to get thicker and thinner. And that these black lines, they think, might be some kind of plant-type condensation.
That's neat.
We got to get onto the iPad Pro before we run out of time.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, the Martian thing is fascinating.
What about the fact that it means that we could actually go there and have both water and use water to make oxygen, no?
Yeah, for sure. I think if we can guarantee people a hot tub, then there'll be a lot more people trying to get to Mars.
Definitely.
Sure.
I think you're on track with that. And the movie The Martian, I think, gets into that. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we should be able to terraform easier if there's water there, too.
Well, if there's no life there, we'll feel less guilty about it, too.
There you go. Right, ruining somebody else's
Yeah, right.
We always
else,
do.
But there's nobody else there. Okay, go ahead. Well, they say the best way to do that is to blow off H-bombs at both...
That's what Elon Musk says.
North and South Pole. And that would vaporize the water and create an instant atmosphere. And that's what we need. And that's what we need there for our species. Crazy monkeys, I tell you.
And so, as far as an electric car, you got to do it. When you go with solar, which I have solar on my roof, and I'm driving an electric car, and it makes me feel good because I'm right with my mother.
I've only got a half hour. We're almost out of time here for the iPad Pro.
It's okay. We're done. All right. Thank you. Yeah,
you're right.
Appreciate you calling.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
iPad Pro.
Okay, go ahead.
12.9 inches, quad speakers, 2732 by 2048 resolution, 1.5 pounds, the same weight as the original iPad.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a little heavy for me.
6.9 millimeters thick. The Air is 6.1. It's just a little bit thicker than the Air 2.
Yeah. I have to say, when I watched the Apple presentation, I got very excited about the iPad Pro. Yeah. But from the report you just gave me, I can't imagine why.
4 gig of system RAM.
It doesn't make it sound exciting the way he's trying.
Well,
they have the nice lyrical language in the commercials, you know, for the pad with Johnny Ives talking about.
Oh, it's the British thing.
Luxurious feel in your hands.
I thought it was like I couldn't wait to have one.
Did you see those baffles for the speakers? They're huge. See,
that's what it was. It was the speakers.
That's a geek thing that's really cool.
Quad speakers.
Yeah, the idea
that automatically change to stereo regardless of which way you hold it. You get stereo coming at you from the top and the bottom.
No matter what the orientation, you
right.
get stereo.
It's fantastic.
Every which way is up.
So, and it's still only $799 for the 32 gig model. And then they jump. They don't go in between. It goes to 128 gig, $949 for Wi-Fi, and $1079 for the cell LTE model.
Yeah.
And the Pencil.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was so excited about.
The Pencil.
The Pencil Plus. $99
for Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people have tried styluses over the years.
Right.
Bill Gates, known for wanting to use a stylus. And yet, styluses have never really caught on.
Right. Well, Pixel reports that the hand rejection is awesome. And they say the Pencil is fantastic.
So they're saying
the
Apple Pencil is completely redesigned type of stylus that will give you far more refined control.
Absolutely. Down to the Pixel. And those are really tiny pixels.
Right. So it's a really fine pen.
So if you turn it on its side, you get a thick line. If you go vertical down, you get down to the Pixel.
Nice, width. So it's all in the interface there. If it's like a spray pen.
And there's also a waterproof case, a keyboard rather, for $169.
Nice.
You can dump, spill Coke and stuff on it, and it won't hurt it.
And a keyboard,
And it's got the real butterfly keys. like on the newest MacBook.
Nice.
It looks very exciting. It comes in November.
And it's bigger. It's like an inch bigger or something. How much bigger is it than the old iPad?
Oh, it's way bigger. It's 12.9 inches. It's just short of 13 inches. The regular iPad is 9.7 inches. Mm-hmm. So it's more than 3 inches bigger.
And plus the ability to run two apps at once?
Yeah, you have that on the Air 2, and now you have that on the Pro. The Pro has 4 gig of system RAM instead of 2 like the Air 2 does. Yeah, you have that split thing. There's already third parties making the split capability compatibility. I'm using the Coast browser in that split mode on my Air 2 now.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's nice. It's real nice.
It's fantastic. In fact, you can, just by pulling over on the side, which you can also do on the original Air, you can do messaging and email and stuff while you're working on a browser.
Mrs. Future cannot get into this conversation because she operates on a lowly Apple iPad 2.
Really?
Yeah. So
just
she has
now,
no idea about split screens.
You know what? I have a MacBook Pro.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Where I do most of my...
You know nothing.
Most of my Apple-related work. Actually, I'm really glad they're getting into the split screen because one of the reasons I don't like using the iPad is because it's so cumbersome to just cut and paste between things.
Do one
thing. Oh, yeah,
the
split screen is fantastic. I've been using it last week like that, and it's really cool. They also came out with a Mini 4, iPad Mini 4, which is, they brought the specs over mostly from the iPad Air 2. It's got 2 gig of system RAM. You can do the split screen there, too, as well.
Nice.
On the little Mini 4.
So this is all the iOS 9 stuff? Or?
Yeah, this iOS 9 ships with iOS 9.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pad will ship with iOS 9.1, the Pad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Is 9.1 the default out there now if you do
it? No, it's 9.01. But 9.1 is going to ship with the iPad Pro. So that'll
in November.
Be in November, yeah. So
and
you look for,
everyone will be updated.
Yeah, look for 9.1 in November as the update.
And so 9.1 is just blazing fast.
Oh, and get this, the adoption rate of iOS 9, it went to 50% in 3 days.
Wow.
From iOS 8.
Can you imagine that?
Because
the entire
really,
universe of devices, over 50% are already running iOS 9.
Because people say it's a great stabilizer and it's much faster.
Why not? Right?
It's a miracle.
Yes.
That rate of adoption is hard to even fathom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could their servers deal with that much load in 3 days? Wow.
They probably planned for this.
Yeah, they're ramping up for planetary coverage, you know?
They're the richest corporation on the planet. They can do things like that.
Well, that's true. It's still hard to comprehend that many people would want to do it right away. Over 50%.
Well,
that's a lot of trust among the customer base.
It is, even though we did have to go through AT&T to buy our iPhones this year.
Well, we didn't have to. We're grandfathered unlimited, and that's our excuse.
Yeah, yeah. So you keep the old plans.
Okay, we got the last contracts, probably.
Probably.
There probably aren't going to be any more two-year contracts after this
probably not.
Round.
No, it's shifting.
Oh, that's the other thing. The new Apple iPhone upgrade program is fantastic.
That's how you can get a new phone every year.
Yeah, and well, you don't have to either. You can keep the phone that you get and you make the payments for 2 years and then you own it.
Yeah, and the best thing about the Apple upgrade program is that for the price of what used to just get you the phone, you pretty much now get Apple Care with the phone. So if you break your phone, they'll replace it.
Well, it does equal the price of the phone plus AppleCare Plus divided by 24. But it's still a good way to do it to make sure you get the AppleCare Plus because a lot of people forget to do that or just don't know to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tack on a service from like Consumer Cellular after you walk out the door with an AT&T deal. It's only an extra $15 or $20 a month.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you teach the elderly.
I teach at the Senior Computer Center at Loudoun Nelson downtown. I'm there on Friday and Monday from 10 a.m. to 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Is it a class that you're teaching or what?
Yeah, it's sort of like whatever people need to know.
It's kind of a walk-in.
Yeah, it's walk-in.
You charge
special them? Interest group, it's called. No, it's not, there's no charge for members. You have to be a member, $25 a year for membership.
To the Loudoun Nelson.
The Loudoun Nelson Senior Computer Center.
And you do a class, but it's also a little bit of one-on-one.
It's kind of one-on-one. I mean, usually aren't very many people show up. It's usually only two or three people
that
show up each time.
So there's room for any of those that you want to...
Yeah, anybody wants to come on down, 55 or older.
You know how to use the accessibility functions?
Absolutely. That's the first thing you do is turn off the motion. Reduce motion on. Get rid of that zoom.
It's Taylor Barcroft, our Apple aficionado here today. Thank you for the update on the Apple products.
See you next year.
Yeah, be in touch. Happy New Year.
Okay, folks, we have a few guests for the next hour, and stay tuned for weather, traffic, news. This is the Dr. Future Show on KSCO Santa Cruz. We'll be right back.